Orale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, and we are Wednesday, September 28th. NFL week four is here. Estamos aquí, everybody. Oh my God, we're live on YouTube. Our invitado is in the house wearing one of my favorite things. I'm gonna talk about it in a second, introduce him in and bring him in. But Familia, first off, I just want to say, this is the last show of September. Winters, fall is officially here. But first off, I want to send a quick thought and prayer out to our Familia, our friends out in Florida. Be strong, everybody. Be strong, everybody. We got lots of friends of the show, amigos of the show, compadres who are, having it a little tough right now. So really, hopefully, positive thoughts. You guys are going to get through this. You guys are strong people. Florida strong. But salud, everybody. Salud, everybody. And let's keep the show rolling. I mean, we are a proud member of the Fantasy Points Media Group, Familia, and you know what? Just so much great content there. I mean, we got some of the great fantasy minds: Graham Barfield, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan. I mean, Wes Huber, Tom Brawley. I mean, just on and on and on. Some great minds, and we love being a part of them. When you go to fantasypoints.com, you put in the promo code 22Familia10, or if you want to do it in Spanish, 22Familia10, we'll get you 10% off on your subscription. That helps so many people. And Familia, I just want to introduce somebody who I actually was an avid fan of his before I started doing content. Partly, he had really good stuff, but he had one of my favorite Twitter handles, Munder Difflin. I mean, it's just Munder Difflin FF, sorry. And we've been connected the past year plus through a networking group. And I mean, we definitely bonded in our time in Canton at the Fantasy Football Expo. Just one of the great people. I mean, we've had Twitter conversations about stuff outside of football. And I love the way his mind works. And I also especially love the shirt that he's wearing right now, because I'm going to give apologies to our mutual amigo Laquan Jones, our invitado. He had absolutely my favorite shirt that I saw all weekend at the expo, and he's wearing it right now. Look at that. There you go. Seahawks. Yes. But see, you know what? He creates some fun, original, fun content, thoughtful content for in between media. He writes for Fantasy Data, he tells a story with numbers, and it's just awesome. Do yourself a favor, Familia. Also, if you haven't already, check out Pulp Fantasy on In Between Media. So when you get a few moments, you're going to laugh and you're going to get a kick out of it. It's so, so clever. Really cool. So I want to make un gran bienvenido to our amigo from the Northwest, Scott Reinier. Bienvenido, Scott. Welcome. You are in your living room. You're home. Estás en tu casa.
Oh man. Wow, Jorge, thank you for the kind words, man. Big fan of yours as well. And yeah, we did I was going through the anxiety of the expo. I got in late Friday night and I showed up at a big giant party after it had already started, which is like not my thing. First, basically you and I think it was Scott Simpson. You were the first two people I saw. And I just was, I felt at home. I was immediately comfortable talking to you two. And then I think you two, if you remember at the karaoke bar, I was saying my goodbyes, and I just ended up talking to you and Scott Simpson again, just like it had started.
That's right.
I think we got Scott to take a picture of a picture of a picture of the two of us or the three of us. I need to get that from him. But anyway,
Thanks
for having me on the show. I know we've been trying to actually get on a pod together for a while. So I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to be talking some football. I'm stoked that football's happening. I echo what you said. Thoughts and prayers for real for the people of Florida. Watch some of the footage that's already coming out, and it's a dangerous situation. So, not much I can do other than try and put good vibes out in the universe.
Yeah, definitely good vibes, thoughts and prayers. I mean, you guys let them get through it. I mean, I've seen damage of previous, seen and heard of damage of previous hurricanes, and hopefully it just, you know, they just fly through this one. So, yeah. And you, since, you know, before we started, you mentioned that, it's starting to cool down. It's starting to get that fall weather that is very underrated in when it comes down there. Please send a little bit down here. We're still in a heat wave.
We got our first rain today that we've had in a while. Like, wow. I mean, that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a cliche that it just rains all the time in Seattle. And I mean, once you hit late fall, winter, early spring, it's pretty gray. It does rain quite a bit, but we, especially lately, we go pretty much all of July and August without a drop of rain. So,
oh, wow.
I don't have much to send down to you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, hopefully you could send some down when it gets really cold so we could pack the mountains and get us some water for the spring and summer next year. So I want to say a quick shout out to some of our amigos in the chat. Oh my goodness, Craig Reith, amigo. Oh, yeah. Yes, okay. You need to send some cold down here too, because that's, I think I saw that show, that shirt literally freezing. So yes, Dame Overboard. Oh, yeah. Oh, my buena amiga. We are both in the top 20 in the Scott Fishbowl, which I'm,
whoa.
Yeah. Somehow, you know, me, I'm number 11. We weren't in the same draft. We were in one of the four LA Live drafts. And so she was, I believe, in group number two. I was division number two, and I'm in number three. So yeah. Thank you, Josh Allen. Yeah. And Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I've lost the first matchup, but I've won the next two. And that's, thank you, Lamar Jackson, for me.
I don't know how
that's the only reason.
I don't know how you lost the first one with Lamar, but yeah, he's just incredible. And we're going to talk about him in a second. Also, shout out to Alberto. Alberto, mm-hmm. muchas gracias. Always thanks for coming around. J-Wall, you make it.
This is a chat group I'm very familiar with. It's a lot of the same with the Front Yard Fantasy show that happens. A lot of the same. I see a lot of the same names that I'm usually a part of. So what's up, the chat?
Oh my goodness. J-Wall actually created a thumbnail for tonight. So muchas gracias. Nice. Yes. Dame. Oh, la dama. Mr. Scamper is also the coolest cat. Hi guys. Yes. And Craig, the chat goats. Oh my goodness. You guys are already pumping already. Look at this. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
They're the best.
My goodness. Jeez. Oh man. Yeah. Let me see. Is there also, you know, and okay, some,
I do have an answer to this. Like, if we're talking about it like that, then it's absolutely no Pulp Fantasy.
Ooh. Okay.
If that's the context we're using, I don't need little pieces of strange floating around in my juice. I'm good.
Whatever it is. I'm a pulp guy. I am a okay. pulp guy. I like to have something to chew on a little bit. But yeah,
I'm just not.
Though I will say, as my wife who told me a long time ago when we started dating, she's like, instead of drinking the juice, eat the orange. I was like, actually, I like that better anyway. So I'll eat the orange instead. And yes, Dame, let's get it. Let's keep going. Stay top 20. Stay top 20. We're gonna get in the top 10.
I think I'm in the top 1500, which is better. There than you last go. Year. So,
I crashed and burned. I crashed and burned last year. It was no fun. It was no fun. But hey, you know what? I somehow ended up with a roster where I sat last week. I sat Jahan Dotson, George Pickens, Joshua Palmer, and Brandon Ayuk, and it's just like that team is just so loaded.
I ended up with a weird team, man. Like, I don't know if I want to admit it, because so here's the deal. During the draft, I was at the 106 and I was so happy to get Lamar Jackson there, but we'll see how this rest of the season plays out. But I chose, cause I'm a very, very big Kyle Pitts believer. I chose to take Kyle Pitts instead of Mark Andrews, even with that stack available to me. And right now, I'm kicking myself a little bit for that. But I ended up with both Cowboys running backs, which is always interesting, which worked out this past week just fine. And then I was able to win this past week with when Mike Evans got suspended. I remember I was watching that. I was like, oh, he's suspended again. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, I have him on like four teams.
Oh, that's yeah. No good. That was no good. Yeah, that one. Jeez, I got what was one? Oh, I did get an injury. I got Michael Pittman in week two, but I just pulled. But I think I pulled Joshua Palmer up, and he scored for me. So it's that team.
I may have stumbled on a good luck charm for my own personal team. I was talking with Trash Sandwiches Ariel.
Oh yeah.
And she was talking about how she likes to play two kickers. And I was like, I've just been playing one. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it a shot. My tight ends aren't very deep. So I'm going to roll with two kickers. I started last week. I won. I played two kickers this week and I won. The funniest part about it is both weeks, the kickers did nothing. You know what I mean? They scored like 3 or 4 points, but I'm starting to think maybe it's just like, you know, we got to grasp for any little edge we can find, even if it's based in superstition. So we'll see.
Hey, if you can get 10 points from a kicker on a given week, it just all the better. I've been rolling with Jason Sanders because we have a mandatory kicker slot that we have to have in our league because it was one of the live drafts, and he basically did nothing the last 2 weeks, and somehow that
team are you playing on my fantasy league or sleeper?
Sleeper.
Oh. Jealous.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
I got so used to my fantasy last year, but yeah, having
I'm way more team. Used to it now. Like I like to talk a big whiny game on Twitter sometimes about my fantasy league, but like I'm exaggerating. You know what I mean? Like I'm exaggerating for effect. It's fine.
Well, hey, I wanted to give a shout out to the person who's responsible for your Seahawks shirt, Nate Paulvogt. He's on a Twitter Spaces right now, but hey, I told him I'd give him a shout out on the show. But yep. Nate,
he and his wife Jen and their son Jackson go to Puerto Vallarta and other places in Mexico quite often. They really like it down there, and so this past time he went, he saw this shirt. He's like, Scott, Seahawks fan, perfect.
It could not be more perfect.
He gave it to me at the expo, and somehow I dethroned Laquan for best shirt. So here we are.
Oh man. Oh, look at this. Okay. So Pulp for Life. Okay. Dame is Pulp for Life.
I think Dame's talking about the YouTube series.
Yeah.
She's a fan for life. I think that's what's going on.
Better. Yeah. We had a quick question. Lamb or Sutton this week, full PPR. Lamb is home against Washington. I think it's Lamb all day.
I think it's Lamb probably.
Sutton is at Raiders. Both are tasty matchups.
God, it's so crazy because I want to go, you know, a lot of times in these situations with two high caliber receivers, I want to go with the better quarterback, which is still Russell Wilson. But Cooper Rush has looked okay. He's looked decent. And I mean, CeeDee Lamb was a pass that my daughter could have caught away from a huge, huge,
yes,
where we'd probably be singing a little bit of a, I mean, I understood why he was smiling. He was grinning ear to ear after he dropped that. Cause it was just so unbelievable. It was set into his hands. Anyway. I think I would go Lamb here.
Yeah. I think it's the volume. I agree with you. It's obviously Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. I know you had that, the let's ride shirt too.
That's the other one.
your shirt game was just perfection.
Oh, it's just great. Cause like, if I wear this shirt or let's ride shirt around here, especially the let's ride shirt around Seattle, people are like, what are you wearing that for? What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the same with my Tag Strong hat. Like,
yep.
My Tag Strong hat, I walk into a grocery store here. People don't know what it means, but at the expo, everybody knew what that meant. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh yeah. RIP, RIP tags.
Yep, for sure.
So I wanted to ask,
sorry. Yep. My dog's coming in and out.
Oh,
of my room, so I'm going to be opening and shutting the door here and there.
Believe me, I know. We have my dog Dino sometimes, very many times, is a podcast co-host with us. So
well, so I want to have Albert's question.
Oh yeah,
Las Vegas, the Raiders haven't been great against receivers fantasy wise, but the Commanders have been worse as far as fantasy points allowed to receivers. They've been pretty generous. So I think I'm sticking with Lamb with
that call. I think they were up around, close to on that spreadsheet that you have as your pinned tweet right now, the on the fantasy points allowed. I think Washington was like one of the top three teams, I believe, with
I think they're points. Let's see, they're like 25th or so. It depends. It's funny because I think on Yahoo, 25th would be, that's good. You want, first is the worst, the first most points given up. But the way I do it is more based on like the ESPN style, where a number one with a ranking, it means you give up the fewest points. Right. So they're like 25th, like over 40 points a game to receivers. And I mean, the thing about CeeDee Lamb is, you know, the volume's been there. The volume's been elite so far. So I don't know.
I do chase volume on that. I do chase volume more often than not. So we got a question. We'll get to that one in a minute. But I also wanted to ask, you know, what's more unexpected? A more unexpected outcome than first 3 weeks of the season. Geno Smith is QB19. And he's got guys named, you know, these guys named Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and Russell Wilson. They're all looking up to him. So anything more unexpected than you've seen than this?
I mean, you know, I got to see Geno Smith up close and personal last year when Russell got hurt for those few games. And I mean, he's been the backup for a few years, but you don't really get to see anything in that case. So we got to see him and he was okay. I mean, you know, over the summer, I was kind of back and forth on what I personally wanted, whether I wanted it to be Drew Lock or Geno Smith. But I wasn't expecting, you know, he's been efficient. He's been fairly mistake free. He's a professional and he's a veteran. And I think and he knows the system really well. I think that went a long way for him winning that job. You know, and even though they're 1-2, like it has looked better than I expected. Now, granted, before this week 3 game, if you just look at week 1 and 2, I think them and the Bears were down at like almost 40 plays a game, which is just ridiculously low. So it wasn't really working. And then, you get Atlanta, which is a kind of a higher flying game, worse defenses. Mm-hmm. And he threw it quite a few times. So it is. I mean, like, honestly, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, now Russell's gone. So I see, I told you, talking bad about Russell Wilson. But a lot of the issues I had watching Russell Wilson for so long was holding on to the ball too long. Like, I would watch all these other teams. I would watch the quarterback take their drop, whether 3, 5, or 7-step drop, and then throw to somebody. Russell Wilson, you know, he was always trying to make a bigger play, which is fine. It worked great. He was best quarterback in franchise history. But the one thing about Geno is he doesn't do a lot of that. He's getting rid of the ball and not taking as many sacks. The Seahawks are throwing the ball more than I thought they would. A lot of people thought they would just run it all season long. But I think they're 20th right now in run pass ratio. So it's not like they're passing a lot, but they're passing 55% of the time, running 45%. They're pretty close to league average. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting a lot more running.
Yeah, I think we all were. I mean, there's that classic, Pete Carroll is old school. He's going to be, he's just going to want to ground and pound, establish the run, all the cliches that you want. But you know what? They're taking what's there. And Geno actually made some money on DFS last week. So, you know, big ups to him. So I got a quick question before we get, trade Goddard and McKenzie for T. Higgins. My other wide receivers are Debo, Devonta Smith, and his day. I'd do that.
Yes. If you can get T. Higgins for Goddard and McKenzie, I'm doing that in a second.
Yeah, I think last week that the game that McKenzie had was more because Gabe Davis wasn't, had missed the previous week.
Yeah, and I mean, I like McKenzie, and I want to see him do well. Like, he's kind of an under the radar guy that's seen some fantasy success. But at the same time, you know, he's going to have up and down weeks. You know, it's a little bit of a sell high type of situation with him. Goddard, I like Goddard. I know he's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now.
Yeah.
I do like Goddard, but I don't think he's at this point with the way the tight ends look, I don't think he's enough of an upgrade over somebody like, I think he said Njoku was the other tight end, to pass up on T. Higgins. I mean, T. Higgins to me is likely a top 12, you know, top 12 wide receiver, all said and done.
And it's going to be, I really think that Cincinnati really hasn't hit its,
I agree.
Yeah, they haven't hit their stride. Joe Burrow, once Joe Burrow gets going, it's going to be fireworks.
If he's still standing, he's sacked so many times
already. Jeez. Yeah. Wasn't that supposed to be fixed?
Yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, I don't think they're going to be this high. They're going to be the high flying Super Bowl bound team this year necessarily, but I don't think what we've seen is representative of how, you know, like, especially that first game against Pittsburgh, you know, I think, you know, cause Chase isn't going to have that many down games in a row. I mean, the top wide receivers in the league just went absolute ham week one. And then the last few weeks, you know, it's been actually for most of them, unless you're Cooper Kupp, who's just always good. They've all had off games, Adams, Diggs, Chase, all of them.
Yeah. Jefferson.
So I think the best of the Bengals is yet to come.
Very much, very much. And it could start tomorrow night. And we're going to talk about that game real quick a little bit. You know, you had a tweet just a little bit ago, DK, you showed two receivers.
That was I was researching the show sheet. I was like, I'm going to tweet this out. But yes, go on.
Yeah, DK and Lockett. And I mean, it was, you know, showing that Lockett picked several rounds later than DK, and he's outperforming. Is this something that's kind of like, you know, it's still early and things are going to even out and level up more in DK's favor?
I think a little bit. You know, I'm honestly, I'm very much looking forward to being a few more weeks into the season. Cause like when I'm writing stuff for Fantasy Data or for In Between Media or whatever it is, I'm getting really tired of saying that's still early, but you know what I mean? Like, I just want enough data to where we don't have to say that anymore. But I do think it's skewed a little bit downward for Metcalf with how much they're throwing it. I'm interested to see moving forward with the Seahawks again. And it was the same last year, the first two games this year, very low time of possession, you know, relatively very low amount, you know, very low amount of plays, which, I mean, that just, you know, your margin for error with fantasy players on those types of teams is razor thin, because we're seeing it with Rashad Penny right now. I mean, he's got a very good running back rush share on the Seahawks. He is dominating the running back touches, but that market that he is taking from, the market of running back touches, is tiny. So it's just not enough. So I'm curious, because the amount of plays they ran, the time of possession, all that kind of went up closer to league average against the Falcons. And I'm curious to see if that was a Falcons defense thing, or if they've kind of figured out, because I mean, it's difficult to only be able to run 40 plays a game. Not many teams do that. Like it's very almost anomalous to be able to do that. They did it last year. They were pretty low. And I mean, the Bears, there are other reasons why the Bears are going through that right now. And same with the Panthers. Those are the three teams that are down at the bottom: Seahawks, Panthers, Bears. So I'm curious to see how that proceeds. If that's just going to be when they have a good matchup, then, you know, then you have a little bit more fantasy success with the Seahawks, or if it's going to be somewhat sustained. As far as DK and Tyler, I mean, it's been one of those things where Lockett's the one, he's the volume guy. He's at least the last couple of games. I mean, they're not far off on total targets on the season, but I think Lockett last two games in a row, over 10 targets, 9 catches, both games, just, you know, he didn't find the end zone. So, I mean, it's like this though. It's like this with Tyler and DK. As soon as you say, I'd rather have Tyler, he goes on a little bit of a spree of nothing. So I think Tyler, the way Tyler Lockett's looking right now is a steal where you drafted him. And Metcalf, he was faded. So it's not like this isn't super unexpected. I mean, he still is underperforming, but he wasn't as expensive as he was last year. He was kind of being treated as more of a low-end wide receiver too. I mean, he's not that right now. He's worse than that. But I think better days are ahead for DK as well.
I agree. There's going to be splash games. And then last year, people were just decrying DK, but whoever made it to the finals and had him on their roster, they won because he blew up that game. So
he's one of those players where it's like a play will happen during a game and you're just like, holy crap. Like, not only did he catch that ball, but like he maintained his balance and got, you know, it's just like, how does a human being do that? And then there's other plays where he's done this pretty much every year where he tries to extend a play and ends up fumbling. I don't know. It's one of those things. He's got all the talent in the world. You know what I mean? And so like we've said, Geno Smith has been surprisingly efficient and effective this year compared to what we thought. So, I mean, in the whole world of buy low, sell high, all that stuff, I'm holding.
Yeah. I think you got to hold. And I think, yeah, you ride the wave and just hope that you're getting the payoff at the ADP that they had. And I think they will. I think they're throwing enough that it's going to have to. I mean, their defense isn't that great.
No.
So there's going to be games they're going to have to throw, and those guys are going to eat it up. But they're going to put up plenty of numbers. And you know, speaking of numbers, your Twitter threads, mi amigo, they're so awesome and detailed, analytics based, but they tell a story too. And I wanted to see if, you know, for those who aren't like as into the weeds and analytics, but still love fantasy football, how can these numbers just kind of tell a story and kind of help people get the knowledge they need to win their matchups?
I mean, for me, like it's a lot of it for me has been trial by fire, self-taught stuff. I've consumed fantasy content, you know, including all the analytics people, you know, some of whom work for Fantasy Points, but my biggest influence, my idol is JJ Zacharyson, late round quarterback. So it kind of was born out of curiosity in a way. You know, I was using data and metrics that were obviously well established, you know, long ago. But where I started to play around with it when I first got to the community back in 2020, is I just basically started gathering a lot of data. And then what I really focused on was how to organize it and how to put it together to where it made sense to me. And, you know, ultimately, as you've seen that lead, you know, that's taken the form of a lot of color, you know, conditional formatting in Microsoft Excel. That's also not some new thing. But that's where, I would start to just kind of dig through big, giant spreadsheets and be able to see trends or be able to see some sort of interesting potential development or, you know, because a lot of the deal with like more advanced analytics is, you know, you're just kind of looking past all the surface, the point, you know, the actual fantasy points that are being scored, the yards, the touchdowns and that sort of thing. And you're looking for, you know, okay, who is being given the opportunity? Who is not, the outcome is not there yet, but they have that opportunity. This is nothing new. This is nothing new either, but that's really what I focused on. Lots of market share stuff, volume stuff. There's sometimes when I'm going to write an article, like especially for fantasy data, where I honestly, because the new weekly series I'm doing in season for them is called, I pitched the idea to the guy and I was just like, how about beneath the surface? It's just kind of it's not a start sit. It's looking at the data from the previous week and finding interesting things within it. It's been really fun because, you know, I watch the games and I'm paying attention like I always would be, but then I start sifting through the data, like starting on Tuesday, and I have no idea what I'm going to write about until I find it. And that's how a lot of times it is. Like when I tweet stuff out I have things I do that are planned and regular now, like the fantasy points allowed and a lot of that, like kind of overarching team data that I've been putting out. I've had to kind of force myself to get into a routine with that. But a lot of times, you know, like when I decide to tweet something out or decide an article topic, I go and I just trust that what I think is interesting and, you know, that's pulling out of a big mountain of data that other people are going to find it interesting too. So in a super vague way, that's, I kind of answered your question, I guess, but I mean, I have no for, like, I didn't study statistics. Like, I was good at math until calculus, and then I was like, ooh, math sucks. So, I mean, there's not some, you know, there wasn't some like passion for numbers. I mean, I've always been more numbers based, but it's always what's drawn me to fantasy football is the statistics, always, since day one. It's what I love the most. I don't get me wrong. I very much enjoy watching the players play football too, but I just feel at home just in a big giant pile of numbers. So that's where I spend a lot of time. And some of my spreadsheets are a little insane. I have a big giant monitor, and like my daughter walked in one day and she's like, what is that? Is that for work? And I was like, no. So
nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it really, it's a little bit hard to describe because I'm kind of figuring it out as I go.
No, I hear. Yeah, exactly. You don't know where they're going to take you just yet at the beginning. So, and speaking of numbers, big number, Aaron Judge, 61. So nice. I actually put it out on Twitter the other day. Who's having the greater salary drive, Aaron Judge or Lamar Jackson? So I think we'll know in January which one.
Yeah, true.
Or the answer is yes.
Good Lord, Lamar Jackson gets paid.
Yes, please. I mean, stay healthy, get paid. Stay healthy and get paid.
Yep.
One of the things that, and you kind of answered the next question, so I'm going to jump to the next one. Sure. I've really enjoyed the Pulp Fantasy videos. And please tell me more to come. The inspiration, where did it come about?
So when I first joined In Between Media, I was talking to Seth Wolcock. He's the fearless leader. He's an awesome dude, by the way. I've never seen somebody with more passion for something and just making it happen with In Between Media. I'm grateful to be a part of it. But when I first joined and he offered me a spot, like, it was decided I was going to write a column, and guest host, co-host the podcast. But then he asked, he's like, are you comfortable on video? And I was like, yeah, I am pretty comfortable on video. Cause when I first got to Twitter, and it's actually what Seth told me, it's what drew him to offer me a spot at In Between. When I first got here and like sent out the tweet that said, hey, everybody, I want to grow in the fantasy space. And then all the typical characters came in and was like, oh yeah, yeah. I also on a whim one Saturday made a YouTube video and just introduced myself. It was like 10 minutes long. And I just talked about myself and I just put it on Twitter. And so Seth saw that and he's like, that was a big reason. He's like, you were just honest and, you know, upfront about a bunch of stuff, just to Twitter, to anybody watching. And that's what then led to, do you want to do a video? And I said, yeah. And then we were talking about ideas. And originally I was thinking about trying to do something based around mental health. But then we talked about doing something more based just in silly comedy. And I was like, yes, I want to do that. So, I mean, it's somewhat based on like kind of a weekend update style, you know, that was kind of part of it. But it was really like, I, in my everyday life, I talk a lot in TV and movie quotes. Like, I've seen, there's a certain list of TV shows I've seen so many times that when something happens in the real world, my brain will automatically find a connection from something I've watched and be like, hey, this is like that, or hey, this is like that. So that really is the theme, is that type of connection with silly, dumb things, but connected to, you know, fantasy football, but, you know, just overall NFL football, for the most part. So, and for those, I mean, it's kind of taken, you know, same kind of deal. I do not have this formal process necessarily. I think of things that are funny, and I note them and I'm like, ooh, that could be a connection. Like, I have a really good one for the next episode with this Russell Wilson eating a Subway sandwich TikTok that's making the rounds. I already have a great one. And now I'm super excited because I did it, you know, since 2020, I've been doing it alone, which has been great, but I've just, you know, I don't have a lot of experience editing and all that kind of stuff. So I was just shooting everything on my phone, editing it and iMovie, putting it together. And that was it. But Trash Sandwiches, at Trash Sandwiches, who I mentioned earlier, who works for IBT, Ariel, she I had COVID over the summer. I couldn't do my episode. So she stepped in and did one just on the fly by herself, like 3 days notice. And it was hilarious. So I was like, Seth, dude, like we should, like she should join the show sometime. And we what we ended up with was now we co-host it. So it's the two of us now, like moving forward, it's both of us. I'm sure there'll be times where it's one of us because of the other is busy or whatever, but it's both of us. And it's been so much fun because now we've got two different people like watching the games, reading the news stories, and with that piece of their brain that's like, how can I connect to that to something really stupid? You know what I mean? That's basically what it is. So it's really, really fun. It's once a month. So it's not, I mean, if anything more than that would probably be a little bit much just because it does take a bunch of planning and time to put it all together. But it is, it's so much fun to do.
You guys are so clever. Yeah, the one you did right after Ken was pretty hilarious. I think that was the first one, right? And yeah, but have you seen The Office? Yeah, it's pretty.
I don't know.
The British version, right?
Yeah. Did they do an American one?
quite possibly. I think the guy from Pretty in Pink was in there. So,
oh yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. That guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin, I think, was in it too.
That's right. That guy too. Yeah, I played with that guy. Yeah, I know him. You know, he referenced Asia, the movie Asia. I mean, not the movie Asia, the group Asia. So gotta love that.
Yeah. Any shout out to Asia for sure.
Any shout out to Asia. Oh man. So you know, but yeah. So I know the intro has you know, a couple of Pulp Fiction flashbacks. Where does it rank on the Quentin Tarantino oeuvre or whatever you want to call it?
I'd probably put Pulp Fiction at the top of my Tarantino movies. If I'm choosing. I mean, I've loved pretty much any Tarantino movie I've ever seen. But, you know, we were talking about it before the show. For one, it's a movie that just, you could watch it 20 years from now and it'll still be just as good. Two, when I watched it, you know, for me, a lot of times, like my kind of connection to a movie, especially one, you know, like a really epic elite movie like Pulp Fiction, is kind of what I'm going through in my life at that time when I see it the first time. You know what I mean? And I don't remember specifically what I was going through at that time, but it came out at a time that was perfect for me to watch it for my first time. It's similar to like The Big Lebowski for me. Like that came out at a time where it just like my brain was perfectly ready for a movie like The Big Lebowski when it came out. It was basically the same with Pulp Fiction. So, the Pulp Fantasy is based, no hidden tricks there. It's based directly on that. It's got part of the music soundtrack in the intro. So
it's one of the most clever movies. I always kind of, when somebody says they can't follow it because it jumps back and forth, I'm like, oh, you just haven't watched it. You haven't sat down and really watched it.
You haven't watched it enough times.
It feels a little bit more kind of like Stick Figures compared to Pulp Fiction, but Reservoir Dogs is always going to be one of my favorites. But
I really liked Inglourious Basterds.
Oh yes, very well done.
I really liked that. That was another one. That was one where I didn't necessarily have bad expectations for it. I just wasn't like, I wasn't necessarily expecting to go and be as into it as I was. I don't know why, but it just like, it kind of knocked my socks off a little bit, that particular movie. So really like that one too. But like I said, I mean, Reservoir Dogs, classic, absolute classic.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Hopefully you don't like, you know, you're not too thrown off by guns. So I wanted to ask, getting back to numbers real quick, any early trends that you've seen that you're really following for the rest of the season to see if something kind of, you know,
One thing I couldn't help start following, and it was just because I looked at it after week one and I was like, wait a second. And I did tweet something out about this too. It was how well across the board the round one wide receivers had done. Other than Jameson Williams, because he's hurt. But other than that, like the first 2 weeks of the season, Traylon Burks was probably the weakest link, but he was still pretty good. But I mean, Drake London's been insane. Garrett Wilson had that insane game. Dotson's leading rookies in touchdown receptions. Chris Olave is about to get 500 targets if Michael Thomas is out and Jarvis Landry are out. It's just, to me, it just was like, I mean, I do tend to go down rabbit holes where I'm like, I wonder if 5 first round rookies have done this before. Spend hours looking that up. But I didn't do that. I just was like, this, I mean, the NFL, you know, a lot of times we speculate during real NFL draft season about this and that. Oh, that pick's too early. Oh my God, I can't believe they traded up to get Olave there, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, oftentimes the NFL is telling us a story that is true. You might have wanted Sky Moore to go ahead of Jahan Dotson because you like Sky Moore better and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they did the same story was told to us by the NFL this year with quarterbacks. There's a reason why one went in the first round and so many fell, like none of them are playing. So I'm paying attention to that. I'm curious to see how good that, you know, there've been rookie running backs, rookie wide receivers that have had really good first years, but if all 5 of them can put together a really good first year, that seems like that would be pretty historic. So I'm paying attention to that. I am very curious just because I really, really like both players. I'm really curious to see how the Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, proceeds throughout the season. I saw this today when I was researching and that they have the exact same target share, exactly the same. Because Aaron Jones is known or at least speculated as the bigger pass catcher of the two, with AJ Dillon being more of the hammer, but so far they've both been doing both. So again, like I said, I really like both players. That's one of those scenarios kind of like Chubb and Kareem Hunt where I'm like, yes, I got both of them, put them both in. So that one, I'm not a zero RB person, but I'm also, you know, I don't really go into any draft with any kind of strategy like that. I'm a little bit more of a fly by the seat of my pants in drafts. I've always been that way. But this year, probably more so than most, I went receiver heavy, kind of ignoring that really embedded anxiety within me when I don't take running backs early. Like I get this like sweat on the back of my neck, like, oh my God, running backs. So I'm trying that this year. And so what I'm paying attention to is that group of top running backs versus the group of top wide receivers, and just paying attention to the advantage, you know, what advantages that they have provided over the other to kind of inform how I draft, you know, next year. Same with, and I know you have a question about this coming up. Same with what we've seen out of the quarterbacks so far.
Yes. Well, let's get into that one. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's starting to be some talk about, hey, you know what, maybe paying up at quarterback isn't such a bad idea when, you know, if Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are just exploding like this.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like, something to think about.
That was one I adopted. Speaking of J.J. Zacharyson, I adopted the late round quarterback strategy a long time ago in the teens. You know, not right when he wrote his book and started providing the data to show why that was a benefit in one QB, of course, in one QB. But a little while after that, I started doing that. I was like, I'll let everybody else take quarterbacks. I'll grab the Kirk Cousins and Derek Carrs of current times of the world and be fine and get advantages at other positions, that kind of thing. Well, I think the pendulum is swinging back a little bit. And JJ has even, I listen to his podcast religiously, and he gets questions all the time about, you know, the whole late round. And he's mentioned it. He's like, well, it's not, we have new information now. It's not quite like it was. And this year in particular, I looked and like the top, there's a very, very, very distinct tier break right now amongst the quarterbacks. And it's after you get past Lamar, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Yep. There's a drop off. And I mean, from Jalen Hurts at QB3, to Pat Mahomes at QB4, it's 5 points per game difference, which is pretty significant going down one spot. To put it in perspective, if you go 5 points per game down from Mahomes at 4, you get to QB 12. So that's that's the difference there, whereas that's the drop from QB3 to QB4. So it's they are kind of like the tight end of recent years right now, where it's like the top few I give you a very strong advantage at that position. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily, I don't think there's a lot of scenarios where I'm going to go out and buy high on one of these quarterbacks, like in a redraft league. I just feel like it's going to cost too much to get one of these stud quarterbacks. And it's just kind of like, I've got to figure out a different way to beat these teams that have those quarterbacks. I've got to figure out a different way, because obviously they're not going to, I'm not going to get some sort of deal for Jalen Hurts anymore. I'm going to have to give up a lot. And then, so unfortunately, you know, the teams, and I think it was, God, who was it today? Somebody tweeted out, like, it's basically the teams that have Lamar and Mark Andrews, and then everybody else loses, you know? And it's like, it's, you know, the advantage that Hurts, Allen, and Lamar are giving teams right now, it's substantial. So I personally am probably not going to be trying to go trade for one of them, just because it's not, it just doesn't really make sense. It's going to be far too expensive. But much like the comparison I'm going to always be doing between the running backs and receivers, may change the way I draft next year. You know, because all three of these guys aren't, none of these three guys are going anywhere. You know, it's going to take an injury of some kind for this to not play out for at least for a little while. So when I go into my drafts next year, I'm not going to be so rigid about I'm waiting on QB, because now you always go back and second guess your drafts. And I'm like, man, I could have easily taken Jalen Hurts right there. You know what I mean? Like, still would have been a deal. I didn't, because I'm like, no, I'm waiting. I'm going to be the last one to take a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that's kind of the way I look at that, because you're going to have to hamstring your team too much, in my opinion, in redraft to go get Josh Allen, you know? So hit that wire, make those trades, figure out other ways.
It's funny, like, ways
to beat those guys.
Yeah, my Jalen, I have one team with Jalen Hurts, and that team also has Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. And I really felt like I went too early, and that team's just rolling right now, except for one losing one game that was a shootout. But yeah, that team's doing well. So yeah, you just gotta, it's kind of like getting comfortable with not getting your two running backs with the first two rounds.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is again, but it's early. So, you know, I mean, Herbert's dealing with an injury. Like, Herbert will be right up in that general range at the end of the year. But, you know, it's very blatant that these top three guys who are that far ahead of the rest of the crowd are all the, like, phenomenal dual threat guys. I mean, the only guy that's not up there with them that is still, I think, technically considered dual threat is Kyler Murray, but he doesn't run it quite as much as those guys do. So, you know, it's just kind of telling us the story. It's like these guys, that 5 points per game difference, that's their rushing.
And that's the one, that's the big thing. Yeah. I ranked Murray as my number three quarterback going into the season, because I just thought that he would have just, he would be doing a lot of what Jalen Hurts is doing, and he's just not running as much. I still think he's going to hit a good spell, but
Jalen Hurts has been impressive. I'd eat a little bit of crow with him. I was never on the train of like, no, he can't throw, blah, blah, blah. But my concern was that he was being anointed top five prematurely. Like I knew he had the skills to have that rushing floor. There was still a question about, you know, what, if he could support receivers with the passing game. And I just thought after like kind of just one season, I thought it was just a little bit premature and irresponsible to all of a sudden have him as a top four guy the following season. Now it worked out. He is, but his passing has been impressive. Like, he had the game, which game was it? Week two, I believe it was. He had an 80% completion rate. He started off the game 11 for 11. Plus, he rushed for two touchdowns. It's just like, you know, and I mean, Lamar and Josh Allen are doing the same thing.
Exactly. Okay, hey, we got a couple quick start sit questions that I want to throw at you. Pierce, Singletary, or Akers at flex?
Akers... I wrote about him for In Between Media a few weeks back. He was one of my column is kind of a winners and losers now. Mm-hmm. And he was a loser after week one. And that was based strictly on he wasn't getting any work. And McVay does not do committees. But since that time, it has completely switched. And it seems like Akers is now the guy. And Daryl Henderson is now not the guy. For me, this one is between Akers and Singletary. And the reason Singletary, I mean, Singletary, he's been seeing a lot of passes. He's been getting a lot of targets in Buffalo. He's been the opportunity share leader of the running backs in Buffalo by a wide margin. So I just look at them.
The one thing I don't like about Akers this week, they're going up to San Francisco and they've got just like one of the best run defenses in the NFL.
That's true.
So that one's one that gives me pause.
My gut when the question came up was Singletary. That's probably who I'd go with.
I got him on a preview. We're going to talk about him in a second. I mean, that Baltimore defense. The Baltimore defense is tough. The Charger run defense is better. Yeah, it's a tough one. I kind of go Pierce. The thing is, I kind of go Pierce just because I think the Charger defense has gotten, you know, has gotten dinged up with enough injuries. They lost Bosa. I saw their first game and the run defense was much improved over last year. I was at the game in person, but losing Bosa, they've got some other big injuries. Pierce is getting all the volume and the thing Singletary is kind of like in that timeshare. So it's kind of like between the two.
I think I need to check myself a little bit. I might be having a little bit of take lock with Pierce in the negative, just because I thought he was way overhyped. I didn't think he was that great, but this is a tough one, man.
Yeah, this is a real tough one. I go Pierce, but I was a Pierce truther. I've got him a lot.
I'm gonna get the matchups in front of me real quick.
Yeah, Houston at home, Buffalo at Baltimore. I mean, my big thing is
Houston at home against the Chargers, who are dinged up.
Yeah, Akers on the road in San Francisco on Monday Night Football.
Baltimore currently is about 18th or 19th. And points allowed to running backs. Yeah. I'd be fine going Pierce.
Yeah. Oh, and then Big Lebowski watch only one character for the entire movie. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting idea.
Let's see.
I might try that next time.
Let's see.
Four through Andrews in a second. Sandra Schultz, what are your thoughts? I feel like I saw the same question. Maybe it was on IBT. But I like the Andrews in the second side.
I kind of do too.
That's the side I like.
He's such a cheat code. And Brady or Tua on the road in Cincy on Thursday Night Football, or Brady home against Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. I think that's going to be a shootout.
I do too. I think, and this is only because it's happened to me before, where I've been like, okay, we're there now. Finally, Brady's done. And then off he goes for the rest of the season.
It's been like 10 years of that.
Not to write off Brady, but it hasn't looked great. I'm a little bit of a bandwagon hopper in this case with Tua, but I've kind of jumped aboard. Part of it was in a few of my leagues, I lost Trey Lance and I was able to replace him with Tua. So I'm like, well, yeah, now he's going to be great because he's my QB. No, but yeah, at Cincinnati, I feel like I would go Brady against the Chiefs. I think that is going to, it's prime time. I think that is going to be a shootout. Mike Evans will be back, you know? I like that one.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that, whatever it was, that back you know, head injury or whatever that he yeah, got that was on strange. Sunday.
That was really weird.
That one gives me a little pause. And Brady's getting Mike Evans back this week, so I think that's something that I that makes me a little lean toward him in that direction. So, yeah. Well, we're gonna do two quick things on Cheesemit, our news section. So it's interesting that we did that you're on, because I think one of the first when we linked up on at that Friday night party, one of the first things was you told me about Zach Wilson getting hurt, and there was speculation.
Yeah, I think that news had just dropped when I walked in.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was having fun with everybody. Now he's going to start. It's week four. You know, the outlook is at the Steelers with no TJ Watt. Are we? Any concerns? I mean, I'm a big believer in waiting for that second year jump and hoping for that second year jump. And though things were a little uneven, I'm still kind of hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's obvious concerns. It's as much as we, I think, you know, as like consumers of fantasy football, watchers of NFL football, analysts of fantasy football, as much as we want to say, okay, everybody, like, rookie quarterbacks always struggle. So the fact that Zach Wilson and Justin Fields struggled shouldn't be like, oh, okay, they suck. No, they always struggle. So I really want to maintain that, but there's always going to be a part of all of our brains that hasn't seen it yet. And if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to be concerned. And with Zach Wilson, that's where I'm at. Like, I mean, I'm still rolling out Garrett Wilson. I'm probably still rolling out Elijah Moore where I have him. I don't really know what to think about Zach Wilson, honestly. I'm rooting for him heavily because I get a little tired of the premature dumping of quarterbacks. Like, same thing's going on right now with Justin Fields. Same exact thing. Everybody's just like, oh, that was a waste of pick. Give it a second. Peyton Manning threw like 100 interceptions his rookie year. Let's just give it a second. But we also have fantasy games that we need to play and win this week. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's kind of a dueling banjos going there. But it's just with how bad he looked last year, I really hope he takes a second year jump. I hope he comes away healthy from this injury. But my hopes are not necessarily high to begin with for what he's going to mean for that team. It's a little weird to say, because it's like they're coming from having had Joe Flacco out of the, you know, the coming back from the coffin or wherever he was, you know, throwing 60 passes a game and making fantasy studs out of people like Garrett Wilson. So I don't think it's a downgrade necessarily from Flacco. It'd be hard to say it's a downgrade from Joe Flacco. Nothing against Flacco, but, like, you know, he is what he is at this point. I just, until I see it, I'm not going to be super, super hopeful.
The reason why I'm hopeful is because we've already seen Garrett Wilson kind of start to arrive, and I'm hopeful for Elijah Moore because there were so many great expectations for him this year. I mean, I'd love to see the two of them continue to be fantasy relevant, and you need Zach Wilson to be good for that to happen. So
he certainly is in a much better spot this year. What, you know, with what he has around him than he was last year. You know, so I mean, there is, you know, rookie year with way, you know, far, far less lethal weapons around him, probably played a big role in him being the way he was last year. So, but as far as like how I view him as an NFL quarterback at this point, like, that's where my jury is still out. But yeah, I mean, because they also have Breece Hall, they also have Michael Carter, which, as much as we'd love it to be one or the other on different teams so we could have fantasy points, that's a pretty good double, you know, two-headed running back situation they got going on there. By the way, the Jets throw to the running back second most times so far in the league, as far as running back target share. Ooh. So, you can go out and get Breece Hall, go get him. But yeah, I mean, the part that does give me hope is that he has a phenomenally better supporting cast this year than he did last year.
I just hope, I think they're going to be on their fourth left tackle.
Yeah.
So that one, Keep him upright.
George Fant, former Seahawk.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's right. And wasn't the other one, Dwayne Brown, another former Seahawk?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just all these ex-girlfriends are popping up somewhere else. So so we talk about that one. We'll talk about Treylon Burks in a little bit, but some injury statuses to keep an eye on this week. Dalvin Cook did not practice today. They're calling him day to day. DeAndre Swift, another one they're calling day to day, is now like the new, you know, word of, you know, the new phrase that, you know, and Amon-Ra St. Brown apparently is fine. Michael Thomas, they got to keep an eye on. You mentioned the, you know, all the targets that'll be coming Chris Olave's way and all those air yards too. And Keenan Allen, familia, he's only doing individual work. So he may not be out of the woods on his hamstring. So,
yeah. Yep. Some of those are pretty tough. Like the Swift one just sucks. Like, I mean, he's such a good player and he just can't stay healthy. And I mean, for his, you know, I was reading something where there's talk of them just shutting him down until after their week six bye. But then there's, you know, I mean, this, that's the thing. The day to day is the new thing to get everybody to stop asking, you know, like Bill Belichick was asked, who is he? He was asked about Mac Jones, I think.
Oh, that's right.
And Belichick was just like, day to day, next question. Like, he didn't even say it right. He just blatantly said it as a, stop talking to me about that. Let's talk about something else.
I think so, someone followed up and then he said, what am I, a doctor? And then that was it. It was like end of line of questioning.
Don't poke the bear. So the DeAndre Swift one, we'll see what happens. Dalvin Cook, same deal. That's a tough pill for me because I have some Dalvin Cook shares for sure. Amon-Ra St. Brown, yeah, it looked like, I mean, there was still a chance he could miss some time, but it's not considered serious.
I have him all over the place.
I said this the other day, the two guys I'm kicking myself that I think I have 12 total teams. So it's not a ton of teams, but it's more than a couple. 12 total teams, you know, kind of a mixed bag between redraft and dynasty. And I have zero Jalen Hurts shares and I have zero Sun God shares. And I don't like it. I don't like
it. But, no. Yeah. The Sun God, luckily I got a few of those and, I think I got one or two Jalen Hurts, but yeah, that one tough. All right, so we had a quick question in the chat. Thoughts on this trading away Kamara and Cooks for Chubb, Mike Williams, and Antonio Gibson.
I'm fine with this.
Mm-hmm.
Kamara is another one. He's another one where I made a decision in the first round of a draft and picked him and. So far, doesn't seem to be working out, but he's one of those where his peripherals, you know, his volume and his opportunity and all that kind of thing, those are all there. He just hasn't put it together into fantasy points yet. He also is he's been a little dinged up. He missed a game. But I still have pretty high hopes for Kamara as being one of the only guys to go to in that offense. However, I mean, Nick Chubb's the RB1 right now. Did Saquon pass him? Saquon might have passed him. But he's up there. He's up there in the top three of the RBs, you know, and again, in PPR, that'll probably fade a bit because he doesn't get the receptions. But I mean, Chubb's been lights out. So at a certain point, you know, the draft is over. Talking about you have to spend too high of a pick on somebody like Chubb who doesn't get receptions, that's gone. If you can just trade for Chubb now and get all those fantasy points for talking redraft, I'm doing this one. Because Mike Williams, you know, he's kind of boom or bust, but that's kind of what he's been.
It's a good quarterback. It's a really good quarterback. Even injured, that's a good quarterback that he's with.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then Gibson, I mean, we'll see what happens when Brian Robinson's fully back. But he has been getting the work. And I mean, Cooks, like I love Brandon Cooks. I'm assuming that, yeah, Cooks, you know, talk about it all the time. One of the most underrated receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Of the modern era, just puts up 1,000 yards every
week,
but it doesn't look super great in Houston. I mean, Davis Mills is kind of a good story, but I'm on the Chubb side of this trade.
I think the Chubb side, I mean, And you're right. Antonio Gibson, I think it's going to be more of a timeshare early on, and we'll see what happens after that. It almost ends up going Chubb and Mike Williams for Kamara and Cooks. I worry about the rib injury with Kamara lingering for the season. Cooks, I like, but yeah, I mean, it's like do you want a guy catching passes from Davis Mills or a guy catching passes from Justin Herbert? And then, you know, and Mike Williams is his go-to guy in the red zone. So I think Chubb, no matter what, that they're going to be run heavy before Deshaun Watson comes back. And when he comes back, that's going to be the cold time of the year. I think that's running time too. So it's not like they're going to abandon the running game at that point. So yeah. I think that's
well, and him and Hunt are both healthy, and it's been a few years. I used to do this in a few leagues a few years where I had, it's same like we're talking about with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I had Chubb and Hunt and I just played them together every game. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of, we're a little bit back into that scenario in PPR. Kareem Hunt's been good. Yeah, and I really like Nick Chubb. He's one of those guys who's always really good, but he just never really gets talked about.
He just doesn't. And it's that classic, oh, he doesn't run. He doesn't catch passes.
Oh my God, can you picture if, not this year because it's Mitch Trubisky, but can you picture if it had been Chubb on the Steelers who only used one running back, throw to that running back, run him into the ground. If Chubb was in that role, he'd be the RB1 every single year.
He would be Jonathan Taylor. He would be putting up what Jonathan Taylor did last year. Every year.
He's so good. You watch him play. It's just like, he's such a good running back.
So good. So good. Anyway. Well, let's get into a little adentro y afuera. The players who in and out on. So first off, a couple of battle royales, nod to Pulp Fiction, Royale with Cheese. Mm-hmm. Allen, Josh, on one side, we got Buffalo and at Baltimore. Josh Allen, he's, you know, and Lamar Jackson. That's the QB1, the battle royale for the QB1. I mean, is this just going to be a points fest? I mean, we got Lamar Jackson on pace to rush for 1,377 yards, and he may be the best passing that he's ever had in his career.
I do think it's going to be a point scoring fest. I mean, we've seen what teams have done through the air against Baltimore this year. You know, that is their weakest link. I mean, that was Tua, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns. Wide receivers combined almost scored 100 fantasy points in that game. It's just, I remember I looked at it, I was like, that's got to be wrong. I went back and checked the formulas in my spreadsheets. I was like, that has to be wrong. And then I went and looked at like the box score. I was like, nope, it's not wrong. I mean, Baltimore, much because of that game, that was quite a spike. But they're leaps and bounds the worst team against receivers right now. In raw fantasy points allowed. So, you know, I'm loving my Bills guys this week. Buffalo hasn't been that great either, and they have injuries. They, you know, the Micah Hyde's out for the season, which is unfortunate. They don't, you know, the experience level they have in their secondary right now. I'm not super up to speed on the injury status of their entire secondary. I just know last week they were pretty banged up. Yeah. Some guys starting with very, very little experience along with the Micah Hyde injury. So I think Buffalo on paper looks, you know, they're always going to look like this formidable. You can't do anything against them, but I think if you can do one thing against Buffalo, it's probably pass. And I mean, it's Lamar Jackson. You know, it doesn't really matter who the other team is. So I'm heavily looking forward to this game. I think this game, I mean, and it has the storyline too. It has the, you know, as much as Hollywood can be part of fantasy football, it has that Hollywood storyline of like the probably ultimate QB1 coming out of that game at the end of the year, facing off with each other, you know, also an AFC, you know, a really important game in AFC, you know, context. So, yeah.
And the NFL MVP race.
When these types of games come along, they're great.
And I think it's going to be, you're looking at these guys. I think you're starting definitely everybody involved in the passing game on this one. It's this game is just going to be fun. I think I did get a question earlier on Discord. I was on the Fantasy Points Discord. Somebody asked about J.K. Dobbins, and I was like, you know what? I'm not expecting. He only was on this field for, I think it was 9 snaps last week. And
yeah,
I think that's just going to ramp up.
They're easing him back in.
Yeah.
So I still really like Dobbins. I've been trying to buy low on Dobbins in a few places. But it's hard to start him until you see him get a full workload.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it might be 3-4 weeks. I think Edwin Porras mentioned that it was going to be about that much before it got before he was, you know, fully unleashed, which was kind of like the similar plan for Saquon last year when he was coming back from his. And the other battle royale with cheese, the SEC 2019 Redux, Joe Burrow versus Tua Tagovailoa. It's LSU versus Alabama again, and A little bit better from Burrow, but I think we're expecting more.
So I have a question. I have a question for you for your personal fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to have a bunch of players going on Thursday night or as few as possible?
I hate to sound like a cop out that it depends. It depends on the game script, really.
Okay.
If it's a game like what was it? Like the game Chargers Chiefs, the first Amazon game. I wanted everybody in that game. I was starting everybody in that game. I get a little squirrely when it's not my top end guys going on Thursday night.
That makes sense.
This is a game I have no qualms about. I think Miami was on the field for 61 dropbacks. I think their defense is going to have a tough time having recovered from that game where guys were on the ground like it was a battlefield.
Yep,
there's a question of recovery there, and I still don't think. But the thing is, I think Cincinnati's defense is still not very good. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be some points scored in that one. But you know, let's say the Monday Night Football game. From this past Monday Night Football game, where I'm not going to get into Broncos 49ers, but if that would have been a Thursday night game, I would have been very, very judicious on who started, and I might have only been like Saquon and the running backs and CD. That might have been it. That I would have been good.
No, but, that makes sense. Yeah, and I agree. I have in like my main home league. I just realized this today. I was like looking at it. I have Mixon, Higgins, Tua, Waddle, all on the same team.
Oh,
so it's like
wow.
Half my team is all playing tomorrow night. So it's either, it's like, at least I guess I'll know when that game's over, whether I have a shot to win this week or not. So that'll be fun though. It'll be fun.
Quick aside, a couple years ago on Thanksgiving, I had a friend of mine, we were playing against each other, super flex league. So with a lot of starters, he had all but one guy go on Thursday. And his team just lit up. And then I thought he won. And I had nobody starting on Thanksgiving. And then I had all my, and then it came down to Sunday. So, and my team just kept, you know, just get the numbers just kept going up and up and up. I ended up winning a shootout. He was up close to 200 points and I got like 208. Or something like that.
Yeah, those times when you go up big on Thursday and end up losing are tough.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of, and with tomorrow, I've got a lot of Jamar Chase and a fair amount of Tyreek Hill. So not so much on the same teams, but just a lot of Jamar. So we'll see. We'll see on that one. So a couple guys that I'm in on for this week, running backs, Khalil Herbert and Austin Eckler. Herbert is at New York Giants, who've been giving up yards with last 188 combined yards to the to Zeke and Pollard on Monday Night Football. I'm looking at that one. And I look at that price point on 5,700 on DK. I know they haven't declared David Montgomery out, but I just think the Bears are so committed to the running game that it's not. It's not going to be a question who's getting the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree for this week. I like Herbert this week. I'm happy where the teams I have him, super happy I have him right now. I've always liked him. Last year it was a little bit because Montgomery got hurt last year too. And going coming into the game when Montgomery got hurt, he was averaging like a 75% opportunity share. So, he was getting all the work. Herbert came in his absence, played well. But then when Montgomery came back, he went right back and assumed that same high volume. So that was a piece that coming into this year was giving me pause. It was also a piece where I was a little bit higher on Montgomery, I think, than most people. I was like, look, people that get this kind of volume, they typically finish as an RB2 at least. But some people pointed out to me, and it's why you listen to people and take in new information, somewhat of a new regime in place, not necessarily going to do things the same way. And to me, it's also how good Khalil Herbert looked.
Yes.
This particular game last week. I'm not going to go as far as saying like, oh, okay, well, it's his job now. Like, Montgomery's not going to go away, but there was a lot of talk about get Khalil Herbert on your team. By the end of this year, he could be ahead of Montgomery on their pecking order and could be the future of their running back room. If you're talking dynasty, he's a pretty sought after guy for me in dynasty. But this week, yeah, I don't think Monty's playing. And I watched Monday Night Football. I told you on my Scott Fishbowl, I have Zeke and Pollard on my team. So I was watching Monday Night Football intently. and they were running all over him. So yeah, I'm in on him. And I mean, yeah, the Bears, like, they're 2-1. How they're 2-1. I mean, it's similar to I couldn't believe this. The Bills Dolphins game. Josh Allen threw the ball 60 times.
Yeah.
Tua threw the ball 20.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins won. Like, the time of possession was like, I know. I mean, I remember I asked that question on Twitter and somebody's like, oh, their defense. And I was like, no, this isn't a question I actually want an answer to. It's more of a, can you believe it? Like, how often would that ever happen? Like, it was just crazy. And that's why that offensive coordinator lost his mind on camera up in the booth. That must have been the most frustrating game to lose, you know? So the fact that the Bears are 2-1, back to that, is kind of crazy, but I think they're going to lean on him. I think until Fields gets more comfortable. I mean, I still have some faith in Fields, but so far it's been really rough. And the one bright spot for the Bears has been the running game.
And, you know, quick aside on Fields, I kind of look at him. I kind of look at what they're trying to do is similar to what the Eagles did last year. And I just wonder if, like, they get a more protection, better protection up front, and maybe get one more playmaker. Does that? So I'm looking at next year with that. But I'm kind of following this one because I know so many Bears fans, and I really liked Fields, and I'd like Ohio State to finally have a good quarterback in the NFL. So, and plus, we need more good quarterbacks.
I've seen some people basically giving Fields away, and I think that's a mistake.
That's with that rushing ability. I don't know. I do not think it's Tim Tebow.
I don't either.
And Eckler, you know, at Houston, he's the RB13, but I have him on Scott Fishbowl, and I'm as high as I am in spite of him because he's only got 80 yards rushing through three games. But I mean, this is a team that is getting a defense being Houston that has given up 161 yards to JT, Jonathan Taylor, and 157 yards to Herbert, who we just talked about. This is something that is kind of like, are they going to give him more carries to kind of take a little pressure off of Justin Herbert? That to me is, the scenario is kind of like what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I do. I think this is a get right game for Eckler. I mean, I know, I don't have a lot of Eckler. Not because I didn't want to. I just wasn't picking in that spot typically. But I know a lot of people with Eckler. You know, like, I have some home leagues I play in where there people are like, oh, Eckler. I'm just like,
paciencia.
Just be a little patient here. I just think the matchup. What you said. You know, I don't. They're. If they don't need Herbert to wing it all over the field with, what is it? Fractured
rib cartilage.
Oh God, that just makes it hard to breathe just saying that. And granted, Sony Michel got involved. Joshua Kelly's been a little bit involved. So it's not necessarily just a smash, he's going to tear the world apart no matter what. But I think this is just, everything's lining up for Eckler to have one of those Eckler games. Similar to the Aaron Jones game we got a few games ago.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, hey, it's one of those Aaron Jones games. Check it out. I think we get that with Eckler this week.
Very much so. Very much so. A couple of receivers to talk. We already talked about CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he's very much, he's been getting the targets. He's had at least 11 targets in each of the game, no matter what, Cooper Rush. And the Washington secondary is, just giving up yardage. He's given up a 100-yard receiver in each of the last three games. I think, and it's a home game. I think it's a smash. I think this is a smash opportunity for CeeDee Lamb.
Yep, I agree.
And what about, Gabe Davis? I mean, we talked about that Baltimore secondary is still not 100%. And I'm looking at this one. I mean, they just gave up 156 yards to Devontae Parker.
So the whole Gabe Davis thing, I mean, good Lord, all summer. Just the
back one of the Pulp Fantasy videos.
Yeah. Poking fun at, we're still talking to him. with my boy Herms on the audio for that. But I've never really fallen, like, I guess if I had to, if somebody said, okay, you keep saying that you're in the middle on Gabe Davis, if you had to pick a side, which side were you on? I was probably on the side that's like, you guys are blowing this guy up a little too much. That's a little bit too much hype. That was probably the side I was on, but I wasn't on this, like, he's garbage, but I also wasn't like, he's a wide receiver one. And I think we've seen exactly what I think play out. He caught the touchdown in week one, perfect time for him to catch a touchdown. So everybody could just be like, see, I told you. But then last week, Josh Allen, like we said, threw the ball 60 times and Gabe Davis had 6 targets. That's a like 9% target share. So that's what Gabe Davis is going to be. Whether people want to hear it or not, he's going to be a guy that has smash weeks and then he's going to be a guy that has off weeks. It's just I don't think he's going to be very consistent. This is a game where I would be confident playing him, though. This is a game against the Ravens that I think is going to be high scoring. And this would be a game where I'd be comfortable starting Gabe Davis for sure.
Yeah. And I think he's the guy that's going to get deep on them. And that secondary, I mean, that's how Miami just like ate them up, was just, taking the deep shots. And I think that's who Gabe Davis is in this offense. You mentioned, kind of like the roller coaster ride with Gabe Davis. It's very similar to Mike Williams. Graham Barfield, right before the season said, that Gabe Davis is the equivalent of Mike Williams for the Chargers. So I think that was the best comparison that we could have. One that a tight end that we're looking at, and this was kind of, I believe you had, what was it? You had that New England was really, really low against the tight end. And I'm looking at Robert Tonyan going up against that New England defense. And, he's coming back from an ACL, but he was third in routes run last week against Tampa Bay. And he's not being kept into block. So I look at him and it's like they're scoring touchdowns. He's in that trust tree. I've got Tonyan on a couple of them, but I'm going to build, I think I've already built a DFS roster with Tonyan in it. And, I'm looking at that. It's not just going to be Romeo Doubs getting looks.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the point for me is, Tonyan, I mean, he's in the big pile of tight ends where you just hope you pick the right week. And I'm going through that right now. I drafted Cole Kmet. I waited and I drafted Cole Kmet because I've been a Cole Kmet guy forever. I just assumed he was going to get a bunch. And he might still be good, but that didn't work out. So now I'm playing the game, the tight end game. So I think Tonyan is fine in that context, like that streaming tight end context. I think New England, what I see here, like 12th. So upper half of the league as far as fantasy points allowed, like being stingy against it. Again, that is just as a quick side note, the fantasy points allowed thing that I do, like up through the first probably 4 weeks of the season, there's nothing else you can really do besides just here's what's been given up. There's no other data yet. But once we get about four games, five games in, I'm going to start adding in like, okay, well, like last year, for instance, the Cardinals on paper, fantasy points allowed, very good against tight ends, gave up very few points to tight ends, but they went like 10 straight games without playing a tight end anywhere near the top 12. So they hit a long string of not very good tight ends, which made them look very good against tight ends. That type of data, once there's enough of it, I will start inserting that into these. So it's not just raw fantasy points, but for right now, that's what we have. And New England is, you know, not a great matchup, not a terrible matchup for tight ends so far. But, you know, he's a target. He's a target for Aaron Rodgers. It's not all going to go to Dobbs. So in the streaming category, I'm good with Tonyan.
Yeah, definitely. I've been grabbing him on a couple of teams that where the wide receiver waiver wire was just kind of empty. And obviously we all know it, almost every running back waiver wire is always empty, but I was just like, I'd see him out there. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to pluck him on there. Even if I do like the tight end, cause you never know. It might be a play there. So I got three afuera players that maybe we could jump through, but one of them, I mean, he's been a revelation this year, Trevor Lawrence, as we like to call him on this show, Fabio Football. But I mean, this is, I think he caught the Chargers on a bad week for them. Now it's going to Philly, and you got Darius Slay on that other side. They haven't given up more than 221 yards. I would like this better, this game. I would not have him on this list if this game were in Jacksonville, but it's in Philly. I'm happy for Lawrence to be kind of hopefully have arrived as a good quarterback, but I think this is going to be a rough week for him.
I do too. Like, Jacksonville has been one of the better stories, surprises this year for me. I think what it's shown, and people have come out and said it, like, wow, I underestimated the effect that Urban Meyer must have had on that team last year.
Yeah.
Because offensively and defense, I mean, yeah, they lost to the Commanders, but they've looked pretty good. And I mean, whether you catch the Chargers on a bad week, whether the Chargers have some injuries that pop up during that week, winning 38-10 against the Chargers, you know, that's not something that happens every day. So I love it. That was one thing when you asked about trends I'm looking at, or the things I'm paying attention to, like, closely. One of them is just the Jaguars, the Jaguars offense. I love that we're watching Christian Kirk break out. I've wanted it to happen in Arizona since he got there, and it's just really fun to see it happening. I don't think it's going to stop. If Zay Jones can keep it up, what a great story on him. He, you know, second round pick in Buffalo back in like 2016 or 17, and he dealt with some mental health stuff. He dealt with some demons, and he's come back, and he had a pretty decent end of the season last year in Las Vegas, and now he's a guy that I'm in a few 10 team leagues, and he's being picked up off waivers. You know, that's a good sign in fantasy. So I'm paying attention to that team, but you are right. I mean, this Philly team is for real. This Philly defense is for real. I said a similar thing about Carson Wentz last week. It was like, Carson Wentz so far has been a fantasy revelation. I was like, we're going to know a lot more about which Carson, like the true Carson Wentz, after he goes through this past week, which was Philly, and now he gets to go play Dallas. Like, that, you know, that's when we're going to see if Carson Wentz is new and improved or still, you know, taking advantage of good matchups. I think it's a little bit similar with Lawrence, but Lawrence, especially out of all of the quarterbacks, I was like, just give it a second. Okay, maybe he won't be the next Andrew Luck. That's who, you know, best prospect since Andrew Luck. Okay, maybe he won't be. But the fact, you know, he's just not going to ever be anything. I was just like, come on. Especially with what that team went through with that toxicity in their workplace last year. So I think Lawrence is the real deal. This is a big test. This is a big test for him, though. I mean, you know, they're now a potential playoff team in the AFC, and they're going to Philly, 3-0 Philly, just a red hot Philly team. And it's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. Those fans are going to be bonkers. That game could go a number of different ways. That game could be potentially, because Jacksonville's defense is not necessarily a joke right now. So that game could go the boring route, but man, that's another game I'm really looking forward to. Just some of the storylines involved with that game, because Philly was my dark horse, somewhat dark horse. I said Philly Buffalo. That was like my Super Bowl pick.
Ooh.
Before the season started. I was just sucking up to my Eagles fan friends. That's all I was doing.
No, yeah, we've got a few of those.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that game. And I really like that game. Because a year ago when the schedule came out, I saw Philly Jacksonville. I would, meh. You know? But that's what's great about the NFL is like these things come out of nowhere.
Yeah, you get the storylines. Real quick one, Brissett or Wentz this week? Wentz at Dallas, Brissett.
I'll go Brissett.
Oh, yeah, at Atlanta.
Yeah, I'd go Brissett.
Yeah, the way they've been. I was going to have Amari Cooper on here, but then, I was just kind of like, no, I think he's, yeah. I think so. Yeah, that Wentz is going to have a tough time in Dallas.
Again, we just watched them. It's fresh in our minds, but man, that defense gets after the quarterback.
Yeah, like, and they've had
that could be a long day for Wentz.
Yeah, and Washington has dealt with some injuries on its offensive line, so that one's going to be a tough one. I had Singletary on here. You pointed out that he was going to get some work in the passing game. I thought he's not a big physical runner like Ramondre Stevenson, who got some yardage, kind of like that in that Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. I hadn't really thought so much about him getting work in the passing game. That could be interesting if he gets incorporated in the passing game in this game. That's going to see a lot of points.
Mm-hmm. That's the aspect that would be a little bit of a tiebreaker if I'm in a start sit with him. But where we were talking about him earlier, I think Pierce has, you know, that week one kind of, I think the week one scared a lot of people who were high on Pierce. Rex Burkhead got so much,
yeah,
so much action. But since then Pierce has been, you know, so in that context, I'm probably still going Pierce, but yeah, I mean, Singletary, he's just he's one of those guys that seems to always surprise for me. Like, I was really high on him as a rookie, and then they drafted Zach Moss and turned into this weird platoon, and neither of them were very good. And for some reason, I just like lost interest in Devin Singletary. But I don't know. I think he can still get it done.
He could. And I know one guy, our last guy to talk about, Treylon Burks, I think he's going to have a tough time this week. I look at it's another game on the road. Indy was a different defense at home. Stephon Gilmore is playing a lot better. I think he's the number 13. PFF has him the number 13th ranked in coverage grade. The increased usage for Burks is good, but I think this is going to be a tough one. I think this is going to be a learning lesson for him, which kind of reminds me of A.J. Brown's rookie year. He was kind of breaking out, and then he had a game against Patrick Peterson, who at that point was still at his prime, and he mm-hmm. just basically shut him down. And I think this could be that kind of game for Treylon Burks, but something that he could learn from.
Yeah, I mean, they're at Indy? Is that where they're at?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Indy just basically shut down the Chiefs in Indianapolis. Which knocked me out of a survivor pool. Thank you very much. I don't know what I was doing taking Casey on the road. It was my mistake. Anyway,
there were a lot of that was a bad week. That was a tough week because there were I believe there were 9 road favorites road favorites on that one. And I always get squirrely when it's when you're talking about road favorites.
I have to say, sometimes you play the woulda coulda shoulda game in eliminators where you're like, oh, I was gonna. The other team I was really looking at was the Chargers. So I'm not making any excuses for this eliminator being done. No, I agree. I think Burks is still kind of figuring it out compared to the other rookies. Not a huge fan of just the passing offense in Tennessee in general. Ryan Tannehill seems to be not what we necessarily thought he was going to be. You know, he had some success recently once he moved to Tennessee, but you know, it's still just, you know, big time running offense, you know, smash mouth running defensive team. And they're just, their offensive line is worse than it's been. It's part of the reason Derrick Henry hasn't gotten off to the same fast start that he has gotten off to. But I mean, it would depend on who, like if it's a start sit type of question with Burks, it, you know, obviously it would depend on who you're asking with. But yeah, this could be a tough one. This could be a tough game at Indy conference, you know, division game. Good defense. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think so. We got one last question. Dalton Schultz or Knox? I think Schultz isn't, I think he's still a question mark to play. And I think you have Josh Allen, you're playing Knox.
Probably. The only thing about that is Buffalo currently dead last in the league in tight end target share.
Ooh.
Like by quite a bit. They have a 9% tight end target share. Doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. And let's see. What is where'd it go? Baltimore against the tight end. Not good. So, I mean, I really try and preface some of this early season data when I say, oh, 9% target share for the Bills for the tight end, to not just be like, okay, can't even consider it. No. There's context involved. But I mean, with this, Schultz, I thought I saw today that he was going to play, but I don't know if it's confirmed yet whether Schultz is actually playing. I think for me, if Schultz is 100, if he's cleared and he's playing, I'm playing him over Knox, but I'm not necessarily scared of Knox.
Yeah, I think, if Schultz is playing, because, yeah, really, who's going to get targets other than after CeeDee Lamb. I mean, I know Noah Brown's been a good story, but yeah,
Gallup could be back this week.
Gallup could be back.
What I saw about Gallup was that he physically, I think he was cleared to play against the Giants, but he had only had like one or two practices. So he said, I'm not mentally ready yet. Cause he's like, I haven't done anything yet. So if that story is true, like that was just some injury article I read before the show, Gallup could play. So, I mean, that obviously, but I mean, just because now he's had five practices instead of two doesn't mean he's just going to come out of the gates. Gallup, I mean,
right.
Probably does mean I've liked Noah Brown. That's been a fun story so far this year. He's a guy I picked up and played in Scott Fishbowl. So I think Gallup is going to, you know, it's obviously going to hurt his volume, but yeah, I mean, if Schultz is cleared and he's playing, then I'm playing him, Cooper Rush or not.
I could see that. Yeah. If he's cleared, get him in there.
If he's cleared, get him in there. Yeah.
And we've been in there. Mi amigo, we went long, but this was a blast. This was a blast. I can't thank you enough. I just, I think it's time to close up shop. And because as we saw from behind you, that light, the sun went down on us. So
next time, it's not long before the sun will be down when we start.
Yes, six. Exactly.
I tend to get long-winded. So thanks for letting me talk.
I loved it. This is a blast. This is a blast. And really I know our chat was definitely very lively. I want to thank everybody for being in the chat. Mi amigo, please awesome. Pump anything you got coming up.
So we basically covered most of it. You know, I write a bi-weekly column called The Mondays for In Between Media, and over at In Between Media, I highly recommend going and checking out In Between Media. If you don't, it's kind of a different format over there. We do a lot of everybody's column that writes a column talks about life stuff, and I talk a lot about life and mental, just stuff I've been through, and hopefully it can help. And then combined with, you know, fantasy football, but there's also fantasy NASCAR, fantasy golf. There's a cooking show. You know, there's a whole lot of different things over there. So go check it out. But I do a bi-weekly column there called The Mondays. During the season, it's going to be kind of a winners, losers, and overreactions, which I'm calling the Mundy Award for the winner, the Andy Bernard Wall Punch Award for the Overreaction Award, and then the Buffalo Branch is the Loser Award, because that's the branch that got closed in the office. So that's the name of that's, it's kind of a new little format I got going. So I got that. Then Pulp Fantasy is once a month. That's a YouTube. It's 10, 15 minute episodes once a month with me and Trash Sandwiches. And then I have a weekly column at Fantasy Data called Beneath the Surface, just basically breaking down the previous week, which reminds me, I gotta get on that. And then I did start a Patreon if anybody's interested. A lot of this stuff I put on Twitter, a lot of the spreadsheets, all that stuff, it's all there. A lot of it just for free. So yeah, kind of all over the place.
Love it. Love it. Well, you know what, mi amigo, this has been such a blast. I know it's been long overdue.
This has been great.
Long overdue. You know what? Estás en tu casa. We're gonna have you come back. Because as you know, Familia FFB is year round, so there's gonna be lots of stuff to talk about. But
I'd be happy to come on anytime.
Mi amigo, thank you. And everybody, thank you for joining us. Seahawks, muchas gracias. Everybody, thank you so much. Please, again, make sure you're giving us a like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow our YouTube page. Our numbers are growing and just keep going on that. Also, want to make sure you're going to, I push out all our original content at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. Go to familiaffb.com. I'm going to have the Adentro y Afuera article come out. I may try and do something a little bit different, a little bit more in depth this week. And I'll be having a DFS article coming out later this week. So come out there. Facebook, Instagram, it's Familia FFB. Nice and easy. So again, to our invitado de lujo, Scott, muchas gracias. To you, everybody, thank you for joining us. Muchas gracias. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.